Hey everyone, apologies for the delay in uploading this episode. Work commitments got in the way. But good news, we had so much fun recording that we had to split it into two parts. Part one is out now, and part two will follow soon. Enjoy.
Welcome back. I'm Caroline.
I'm Jen.
And together, we are the interpreters behind the mic. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, our co-host, Katie the Cat, is unable to join us today, but she will be back for the next episode. We have two special guests with us today, Shireen and April, both Cantonese interpreters. Shireen has been just converted from OPI to VRI, while April is an OPI. VRI is this video remote interpreter, and OPI is over-the-phone interpreter. They'll be sharing their insights, experience, and challenges in their world of interpretation. Hi, Shireen. Hi, April. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello, both of you.
Hello, Caroline. Hi, Shireen. Hi, Jen, buddy.
All right. So my question here is, what inspired you to be an interpreter? Shireen, you want to go first?
At first, I really thought it was an easier job. So it was just a timing thing. But I really didn't think it was going to be hard. And then once you started, it was difficult. Way harder than I think and imagine.
Right.
But then I think I got scammed into the job by Jen specifically. Yep. Yeah. Jen was like, oh, but you're helping people, right? And you're so nice. You're like, yeah. And then you go and you're like, I don't want to help people anymore sometimes. Right. But then, you know, because he was like, you know, you're helping people and you're like, oh, yeah, it's pretty nice. So, and then I think sometimes my journey felt like I said, I'm scammed. Because a lot of time in the beginning, I really have met a lot of really nice client that will always say, oh, thank you so much for your help, whatever. Oh, you're so nice. I'm like, is this all fake? Because everybody is telling me I'm nice. Are all the other interpreters screaming at you? What is going on? But in the beginning, I do really, it does feel like, you know, you're helping people. And it was really nice. But it was really difficult. So definitely was not easy. Yeah.
What about you, April?
Well, honestly speaking, I did not even know this job exists in our daily lives. You know, I know there are like translator jobs, but not interpreters. Like, by the way, I only got to know the differences between like translator and interpreter after getting into the job. Like Jen always emphasized, like, no, translator is like on the words, but interpreter is like the speaking kind of interpreter.
Right.
So, yeah. So I do know there are jobs like this, but then that would be like only like translating articles. So it has never come to me that there will be a need of an interpreter for live communication, other than those like country leaders in the meeting. Yeah. So if you're asking what inspired me to become an interpreter, I'm sorry to say, like, there's no inspiration at all.
Okay.
Yeah. I just came across like with this job by chance. So yeah, I just quitted my job and was trying to look for a job, like a remote one, because I will need to look after my parents at home. So there it goes. Yeah.
It seems like a very tough situation for you. I mean, it's difficult because we have to make a living. And like what Shireen said, it is not easy, not at all. Yeah, the training was difficult. There's so many industries and there's so many terminologies that we don't even know existed because we don't use them, especially medical. So there's medical, then you have insurance, then you have banking. Oh my goodness, there's customer service. So everything crammed into a really short period of training while we are onboarding. That was really tough, very tough. And later on, when we officially started to take calls, it is very challenging. So I would agree that, okay, a lot of people are not really inspired from someone, or when you saw something and you saw, oh, okay, wow, this job is cool. Yeah, you get to go to UN, you get to go see world leaders, and then you get to interpret for them. It's not something that, wow, we want to be like them. I can speak English, I can speak other languages, I should be one. So yes, it is not an inspiration. We're not inspired. We only came to the job because we needed to survive. This is unfortunate, yes, but it is the truth. But for me, I am glad I did, because this is like a calling to me. I managed to help people. So it's really good. So it's the people who we've helped, they are grateful. They thank us after the call. Not all the time, I understand, but lots of times the people do say thank you. They are grateful. I appreciate you. These are the things that we really love to hear, and we want to hear more of them. So yeah, keep going, keep going. So coming to the next question. So what were your thoughts about this profession? And now that you're working as one, has that perspective on the job changed? Shireen?
Absolutely. I mean, I think as everybody had mentioned, since everybody had mentioned about the interpreting for like world leaders and stuff, I think before coming into the job, it must look fun. And I specifically, I know people that are like going to learn a new language so that they can do live interpreting for their idols, you know, in Korea or Japan. Mm. Let's just say after I do this, I do not want to do that. I am like, that is okay. Can you imagine you interpret for your idol and then you said the wrong thing? Can you imagine? Because I, over the phone, because I used to do translation before on paper, and I really thought, especially because I did translation, I really thought interpreting, like, you know, you didn't imagine that, I know it's going to be harder, but I didn't imagine to be way more difficult. And then now that I'm doing it, I'm like, okay. And I know, because even as interpreters over the phone, we know that at the certain industry, they have live interpreters as well. And I don't even want to do that job. And then I'm thinking about all these people that are like, oh my God, I can interpret for my idol. I'm like, no, thank you. No, thank you.
Just not anymore.
No, I mean, what if I don't know all of a sudden, especially over as a certain industry, we have things that we kind of have a I guess blueprint of what you're going to say, like certain things anyway. It's still in a range. Yeah, it's still in a range. But what if that guy or that whoever you're interpreting for starts saying something and you're just like, I don't know what the heck he's saying. What do you do? What do you do?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Definitely
it's true.
Not. I was like, okay, I do not want never.
All right. Okay. I mean, it's reasonable how you feel that way, because it looks so easy. These professionals make it so easy. They're making it so natural. I see the same thing too. I mean, you have, say, Korean or Japanese actors, singers, artists. They go abroad, they interpret, or they have translators, or they say. And likewise, for people from the West, they go to Asian countries and then they do their promotion, their interviews, same thing. So imagine if suddenly they cannot, or they don't understand the question. Huh, that is going to be difficult. I can imagine the stress, but they make it so easy. And when we are actually on the job, it's not easy at all. Yeah, lots of practice. You need lots of practice. So what about April?
Yeah, so before becoming an interpreter, so what I think is like, it would be an easy job. Like after all, like just interpret what they say, like...
Chicken and duck talk.
Yeah, chicken so duck we just talk, need to like interpret like the duck language and the chicken language, that's all. But then I realized, no, this is not the case. So it's like more than that. So you cannot paraphrase, you cannot omit or add anything at all.
Yeah.
You will need to interpret like exactly what they say. So having said that, I actually became like very aware of what like what I would like to say, like the word choices, because sometimes it can mean differently. For example, like I want and I need and I must. So those three words actually have like a slightly different meaning. But to be honest, I still tend to make these mistakes. So I hope my TL won't hear this. Yeah. So the other thing is like you have to expand your, I would say like medical terminologies, which are like far more important than other industries. So because like I realized what I have been using in the past is actually wrong. Like for example, you know, we used to refer siu yim yok as antibiotics, you know, in the family. I mean, in the family, but it actually means like anti-inflammatory. So it is totally different thing. So yeah, I just like got to know all these differences after working as an interpreter. And I actually have learned a lot from this job. So there's one more thing that I like to share. So there were two times when I went to the doctor. So once was with my mother and another time was with my daughter. So I was asking a lot of details, like will you give medication for the stomach, for the tummy, and what actually happened? And doctor ordered a blood work, so I'm asking like, what are you checking and what's the plan? Is there any findings? Like, you know, it sounded like very professional after that. So the doctor actually asked like, what's your job? And then I was like, interpreter. And they were like, what, like in the medical field? I was like, no, just like a remote job. Like, so now you sound like, I mean, I sound like a professional.
But you are a professional. That's why you are an interpreter. Yeah, you are helping people in life settings, at a hospital, a clinic, you know, 911. You have emergency room. You are a professional. That's why I also tell a lot of interpreters that the moment when you start your job, you think that you don't know a lot of things, which is true. Then later on, after a while, you start to feel, especially when we're sick or you go to a hospital with your loved ones or yourself, you start to get familiarized because you know the setting. Even if you're not a VRI, you are just an OPI, but the moment when you step into the hospital, you feel familiar. Like, I know this. Yeah, I know this. There's a process. You know, you have a process. You go through the whole process from step A to Z. You know, it is so familiar. The questions you ask, and then people start to ask you, are you in the medical field? Not quite. Not quite. Because doctors have asked me as well, are you a nurse or something? I said, no. How do you know all this? I mean, do you have family who is in the medical field? I said, no.
Yeah.
Because you ask all these questions, you know, you have like medical training. I said, yeah, a little bit. So what do you do? I said, I'm a medical interpreter. Said, oh, I see. Do we have that in Malaysia? I said, yes, private hospitals. Oh, I see. So you're interpreting for private hospitals? I said, yes, but not in Malaysia. Which is why. And the doctor will say, oh, okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that we have this profession in Malaysia. I said, oh, you'll be surprised. I said, we have a company that is recruiting lots of, you know, interpreters for clients overseas, not for the Malaysian market. They themselves, you know, they were not aware that such a service available.
I think I have similar experience like April. So I went to the clinic to see a doctor and having this gastric pain. And the doctor asked me a question. Can you tell me how much is your pain? You know, how painful is it? From 0 to 10, I think it's about a 3 or 4. Immediately he looked at me, was like stunned. Hey, are you working in the medical field? Because only people in medical field use the 0 to 10
scale
to describe pain. I said, no. I'm an interpreter, a medical interpreter. Then he goes, oh, for Malaysian overseas clients. Then he goes, impressive. So next question, I would like to know, what was your most satisfying, or I feel so proud for having to do this interpretation for this client, or for this LEP? Shireen?
I would say generally I'm pretty lucky because I do get quite a lot of really nice calls.
Okay.
And maybe there's one guy, well, one doctor, I think he's in San Francisco. Because they don't know where we are. So he asked me, he's like, where are you? I'm like, are you in San Francisco? I was like, no, I'm not. And then he was like, well, okay, just so you know, if you want a job in San Francisco, you got it. And I was like, me?
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, just come. And then I don't even remember where. In my head, I'm like, because that's really like, I think 2-3 months when I just started. I was like, how bad are these other interpreters doing? What the heck? Me?
It does make you question, right?
I honestly get a lot of these. And I'm always very surprised by how thankful they are or something. I'm just like, how bad? And a lot of people tell me, you explained very detailedly. I'm like, I said exactly what you said. Like, what are the other interpreters doing? They just can't, I don't understand. I thought this is like the standard. I thought these are the rules. I'm like, huh, you know, but I do get a lot of surprises like this, but they all are very kind to me. I feel like, I feel like maybe they're just saying it. I don't know, because I was like, there's no way you're like surprised by what I just did, which I really don't think I did an outstanding job. Most of the time I felt like, oh, I definitely like didn't set that perfectly or something like that. But yeah, I do get some calls like that. Yeah, which
I'd be surprised.
Very motivated. It keeps you going though. It does keep you going. You're like, okay,
it does.
I'm not the worst interpreter. Okay, I can keep going. Okay.
But you'd be surprised of the quality, because sometimes I do get the same thing. They appreciate, and then the LEP person will come back to you and say, oh, thank you so much. You've been so detailed. And when I was still OPI, I would ask myself the same question. And then, well, okay, why would it be surprising? That's what we're supposed to do, right? Because we cannot omit, we cannot paraphrase, we cannot have any additions, nothing. I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do? That apparently a lot of clients started to share when they say they appreciate us or appreciate you. We do what we have to do. And we have to do it right, because we have been trained, reminded that everything the providers say is crucial. If you omit something, then you will change the meaning of what the provider is trying to explain, especially your factual data. If they say a certain dose or how many times you take the medication a day, and if you get that wrong, someone's life is at stake, right?
Absolutely.
So that's why I have the same feeling like what Shireen was saying, that I don't think I actually did anything extraordinary. I just said whatever the provider was saying. That's it. So it does give you this feeling of achievement. You accomplished something that other interpreters failed to do. So it is very encouraging. So you want to stay at this job, you want to continue, you want to do more and more. So which is good. You know, you should be proud.
Yeah, I hear a few times they were like, I've never had an interpreter that is like you. I was like, never? Never. Really? There was a lady to tell me I've never had, like, at the end of the call, because I mean in our training we're told to even if you were to do anything, I guess if you have to improvise a certain situation, you always have to let the client know, which I always do. Because sometimes, you know, client LEP likes to repeat themselves. So I sometimes will just repeat back what the same questions or the same answers. And then there was a client that was like, after the end of the call, he was just like, thank you so much. I've never had an interpreter that just like problem solve like you did. I was like, never? They just, because this was a call where I think they just wouldn't give up or something. Like the LEP was repeating the same question, and then the client had to repeat the same answers. And then she said, never had anybody go ahead and do that. I was like, so all the other interpreters were just repeating, like, oh, no, I can do this. no, yes, you have to blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. And then they just go back and forth on the same question. Wow, okay. I'm impressed. Maybe I'm just impatient. I don't know, but I'm like, I'm impressed. But yeah, I have had them said to me, I've never had an interpreter, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, never, never. Okay. I don't know if it's a good thing. I don't know.
Good thing for you.
I don't know if I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, you did something right because they don't speak the language. They don't speak Cantonese. Yeah, even if the LEP person, they understand and speak some basic English, they cannot communicate effectively. That's why you are there. But sometimes if you have an LEP person that repeats the same question in different methods or different ways to ask the same question, it is up to the interpreter to break that vicious cycle, to break that loop. We have to step in and inform the client first to say, okay, the patient is repeating the same question. Yeah. And can I just repeat the answer to the patient? Usually they will say yes. Or if they think it's too technical, then they will say something which is more layman, and then you can just interpret that. So it depends on the client. And most of the time when I do that, I will inform the client that the patient is asking the same question again. So would you like me to repeat the question back to them, or would you like to explain in a different manner? So the client will usually tell me to, okay, just tell them the same answer. If they come back with the same question, then I will think of what else to say. So I will go back to the LEP person and say, 剛才醫生已經解釋咗啦，係咁咁咁。 Okay? So the doctor already explained to you this. So what is it you do not understand? So I can help you ask the question properly to the provider. And of course, they will say, 冇啊，咪咁咯。嗱，你頭先講咗咁咁咁啊嘛。 So why are you still asking the same question again? I mean, this is, you know, I'm asking myself, why the heck are you asking the same question again if you already understood? So, but that doesn't answer my question. So I'm asking the LEP person again, so do you understand the question or do you want to ask it again? 得啦得啦，我明噶啦。 So I'll go back to the client and tell them what happened. And they say, okay, thank you. So they proceed. So sometimes the LEP person seem to go into a loop, and the interpreter, maybe they're not experienced enough. They don't know how to break that loop. They just, okay, I just interpret. And the client would think that, what the heck is wrong? I mean, is the interpreter doing their job? Are they answering according to what I'm explaining? Or the patient doesn't understand the interpreter? I mean, why are they asking the same questions over and over again? So that's always the question. It's always what's happening. So we have to step in, knowing that it's going to be a repeat, step in, either you ask your client for permission or you stop the LEP person and explain first, and then we see how it goes. So usually we should do that because don't forget, we are there for a reason. Yeah, we are the bridge. Yeah, we're the conduit. So if we know that this is going to be a loop, stop the loop. So I think Shireen did a really great job here, you know, by doing that. Because not only you're claiming that you are maybe impatient, but no, you're just doing what someone with common sense would do. You know that it's the same question, you know, in different form. Yeah, so why are you asking the same question if you understand? So it's either you have a problem understanding or I have a problem interpreting. So which is it? So I think you're doing good.
Yeah, I think because also in, you know, sometimes we get quote unquote lost in translation and we are right in the middle of it. So there's two parties that's waiting for this gap to be bridged. So, you know, if LEP is looping, it does come across that we are not doing our job right. So yeah, it's definitely I think for me to ensure that I break that loop and deliver what is meant to say. And I also like to say something about, you know, having a call and being appreciated. it's somewhat reassuring, the word here, reassuring, because we go through so many calls in a day. Whenever somebody, for me, whenever I say, oh, thank you, interpreter, I appreciate you, that keeps me going. I know I did something right.
Oh, yeah.
It picks me up again. I may have a very difficult or very a loopy LDP and, you know, going through that emotion or whatever in that call. Once I have that, thank you, interpreter. I appreciate your help today. I'm so grateful. That picks me up again, reassured that I'm doing the right thing and go on to the next one.
Definitely. So what about April?
Bro, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say there is like any particular call which is like the most satisfying one, but like when client or LEP express their gratitude, like especially the LEP, they will say something like, oh, thank you so much, you have done really good, that's exactly mm-hmm. what I wanted to say, you rendered it well, you know, mm-hmm. because some LEPs, they actually understand English, but yes. they're just not fluent in speaking, so yeah, things like that. That's it. I don't know. Probably I'm still very new in this job. So yeah, there's like no one particular call which is like really satisfying. It's just like, yeah, when they thank you for all the help. Yeah, that's like the most satisfying part to me.
Yeah, because I did have one client, not client, sorry, the LEP person's daughter telling me that, oh, hang on. I want to say something to the interpreter. And she's actually a native speaker. And a native English speaker, sorry. I was saying, oh, no, did I do something? And he was telling the doctor, I'm actually usually very picky with interpreters, but this guy interprets exactly what you told my mom and what I want to explain to my mom. So this guy is actually accurate. So I'm usually very picky with interpreters. I always nitpick. If something they say is not accurate, I will speak up. But this guy, he's not even looking, she's not even looking at me. She's telling the doctor and the nurse. But this guy, what's his name? Because we're quite far away. Said, right. What's his name? I'm sorry. Interpreter, what's your name? I said, my name is Jen. Yes. So Jen is doing great. So usually I'm really, really picky. I always right. nitpick of the things that the interpreters say. Certain mm-hmm. words are inaccurate. Some terms I know is not correct. I don't speak a lot of Cantonese, but I can understand. Because I need my mother to know exactly what is going on because she freaks out very easily. And I have a hard time convincing her because I don't speak much Cantonese. So it's limited for me to explain things to her. So with the interpreter, it's exactly what I want to say. So thank you. Thank you, Jen. So that actually
that's
gives
nice.
Me, yeah. So she actually said that to me, and I just thank you. So just thankful, and of course the doctor was saying, "Oh, great job! We should give you 5 stars." Yeah, I should give you 5 stars. Please, 5 stars, please.
Write to my company. Yeah, this is my address. Yeah, yeah.
Write to them, please, and also yeah. mention.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It is. I know. I understand. Everybody is saying that. Okay, maybe you don't have the most satisfying or proudest moment in your job, but I believe you have received compliments alike, and I know all of you have been doing a great job because you're responsible. Even during your training, I believe you have been very responsible towards the job. You try your best. You're putting yourself in a lot of stress because you want to make sure you're doing it right. Yeah, but I would advise just relax and be natural. Yeah, and the more you think about it, the more stressful you become. Then you tend to make more mistakes. So just relax. Just because you know you speak both languages, you have been doing this job for quite a while now. Mm. So you understand the flow of the calls. So just relax and enjoy, you know, the whole process. So you, I don't think you're doing anything bad, and I don't think you will. But every moment the client does not yell at you, it's already a very proud moment already. When they say, I appreciate you, I don't think they would just waste that few seconds to say that to you if they don't mean it. Because some client would just hang up. I'm sure they all. Is that right? And yes. Even if you know you've done a good job, even for VRI, even you know you did a good job, they will just hang up. They will just click the red button, whoop, and then you're disconnected. Not even a goodbye, not even a thank you. They will just walk out, and then they forget about you. And then you had to wait like 5 minutes. Okay, you're gone. Then we have to, you know, disconnect the call. Or sometimes they will come back instead of apologizing to you. Oh, so sorry, you know, I have to disconnect. Some of them, they do. They say, oh, so sorry, interpreter, I forgot about you. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. That actually makes me feel a lot better because you respect me that I'm still here. I'm a person, although, you know,
that's right.
In front of you, you're the machine, but I am a person. Some of them will just run in and then just not a thank you, not a goodbye, not an apology, which, okay, I don't expect that, but at least, come on. I help you communicate with your patient. The very least, say sorry or thank you, you know, but what to do? So, if you do not experience that often, like the client would just hang up on you, you have done a good job. If they say thank you, I appreciate you, you know you've done a good job. Yeah. Otherwise, why would they even waste their breath telling you that? They would just hang up. So, well done. Because of this, one of the reasons why I wanted to invite Shireen as well is I have a question for her. So I know you've been an OPI, OPI interpreter. Now that you've converted to a VRI, how do you feel of this new position?
It is different, but I definitely have its pros and cons. Just on its own, the fact, because I'm a very shy person, everybody knows I am very shy. I don't know what you guys are laughing about. Excuse me. Very rude. Very rude, but I'm very shy. So, you know, I don't know why you guys are laughing, but so, you know, I don't really want them looking at me. So, and usually I don't have the best posture. I'm always like, you know, sitting in the odd position, but in VRI, you had to sit up straight during the call. Trust me, I've tried. Like, I've only been VRI for like, I think more than a week, but I try all sorts of so-called comfortable position for me that I don't have to sit up straight. Maybe they can still, but I can't. I couldn't. Like, you have to sit up straight. So like, because you have to see the logo and everything. It's the worst. But then it's definitely easier because now you are, especially during like physical therapy call, it's definitely easier. And when you can see them, sometimes they listen to you a little bit better, I feel like, because they can see you. But then I do feel like I get a lot more hard of hearing LEP, which yesterday, I think, was my peak hard of hearing. Every other call is hard of hearing. I've been screaming into to a point where they were like, the client was so nice. He's like, I'm so sorry, the volume's all the way up. I was like, no, it's okay, I get it. Yesterday at some point, because my cousin actually, I live with my cousin, and my cousin actually works in the morning. And then like I got pretty much I screamed so much because it was like, what year is it? They were checking, they're doing the normal check. So it's like, what year is it? What year is it? I get I was asking the LDP like probably 8 times. What year is it? Do you know? What year is it? And I feel like, I don't know how the client holds themselves not laughing, because I try to adjust my tone, because I don't know if you guys know, but hard of hearing people can hear a certain frequency, right? So I would, every time I would try a different thing, I would be like, what year is it? What year is it? What year is it? What year? What year? What year? And she couldn't hear me. Yeah, she couldn't hear me until, you know, my family member are like telling me that, can I answer for her? It's 2025. Okay. But it was, I always try, and then you'll be screaming, and then when I'm done, I like chug water. I am somebody, you guys are not from my wave, but my wave people know I don't drink water. Like, I think Jen said before, you drink like a pot of tea and a whole bottle of water, right, Jen?
Yep.
I can have a regular cup of tea, and I can barely finish it sometimes. Or a bottle of, I think that's 500 ml. Barely. I can barely finish it. I go to the gym without water. I'm not joking. But then yesterday, I had to be like, I need honey. I may have honey water. I drink like 3 cups. I was like, I'm dying. And it was so bad because I've just been screaming.
Yeah.
So you get a lot more hard of hearing clients, which, I mean, obviously, and then with the, it's hard, but it's easier because sometimes with the accent, sometimes it's help because they have different dialect. Sometimes you try to read their lips. Honestly, it doesn't really help, but my mind thinks it's easier because.
Because it's difficult to interpret. If you don't understand something or you're unable to see something, right?
Yeah.
So being a video interpreter, you can see. Because sometimes clients will say, oh, do this.
Yes.
You know, they give you descriptions that you have to try to imagine. But because it's video, you know what they're saying. Then it's easier for you to start to, you know, describe what the client meant.
Scoot your
bum forward, backward, you know, so you know this is what it is doing. Yeah, PT calls, especially, you know, move this, move that.
My favorite one.
It's easier.
I have a favorite one. It's like, lift your arm sideways. I'm like, back then I'm just like, lift your arm sideways? What does that mean? No, it just means like, you know how like you pretend you want to fly? Yeah, you pretend you're flying like that. Because I was like, lift your arm sideways. Usually, back then when I was like, go like a soul, have Pompey. What does that mean? I don't even know. But then now I was like, oh. And then I always get in my heart. Okay, I never said it, but in my heart, I always get mad at the client. I'm just like, why can't you just show up? And then I can just be like, look at the PT and do whatever the guy's doing. Stop just. I'm like, oh, sometimes I can hear the client go, oh, like this. And I'm like, oh, thank you. I'm like, hoti koi kam. Usually,
it's easier. Sometimes it is. It is easier. But one, when you can see, then it's so much easier to interpret because you understand and you can see. Yeah. But there's one trick I have learned before I start yelling, whether you can hear me or not. I will ask, are you able to see clearly? Because there's a feature I believe a lot of video interpreters have is text. You can actually type and you can actually inform the client that you can actually type text. And then if they are able to read, then you will, you know, ask them to read. So unless they are blind as well, then I'm sorry.
No, I have a question. But what if like the LDP has cataract as well, like blurry vision, out of hearing?
That's why you ask. That's why you have to ask.
No, you can't help.
What about you're as lucky as me? Because so my computer was facing issue. And I do not have, my taskbar wasn't working. So I could not type. I couldn't even type. And I had a LDP actually who knows about this typing feature. So he actually told the doctor already that he can read. So he had used other interpreters before where they type. So he's like, oh, 你打字了? I was like, huh, 打不到字啊. because I was transferred from another interpreter who was like, oh, can you type? I thought I could because I've set it up before, but because they reset my computer. So I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Call comes in. I realized I can't not type. And then he's like, 你打起来. I was like, 打不起啊. And then so now I have to scream. I was like, come on, God. In screaming point, come on, God, 大声点啊. He's like, yeah, okay, okay. And then now I had to start screaming. Great. So yeah. Hmm.
That's so are you able luck. To type now?
No. No.
Oh, dear.
Write it on the boogie board. Hi, Pedro.
My writing is ugly. Again, I am shy. I don't want to show people my ugly writing.
They don't
Fair
know.
Enough.
Doesn't matter, right? Mm. But it is, in general, it is easier because we are able to see. And patients, clients, they are more patient in that way. Sometimes when they say things because we can see each other. So they are less obnoxious. Sometimes they are less rude. But it, sometimes it all depends too. I mean, especially when it's a very sad call and you have to brace yourself, especially if you, the first time you actually see a patient in bed with all these lines, tubes, and the family yeah. is obviously distraught. Yeah, you can actually see that they are upset, they are crying. Yeah, this is something that you're going to, you know, give yourself some time to get used to. It will hit you. So it will hit you. So this is something that you have to, you know, really brace yourself. It will be hard because my first week, in fact, when I was VRI, the first thing when the call came up, I saw the client, I greeted them, had all the information collected. The first thing said, okay, interpreter, this is going to be quite a difficult call. So we're going to have a meeting with the patient's family, and they're all in the room. Some of them came from China yesterday, so we're going to have a family meeting. I'm sure there's going to be lots of questions. We're going to have different doctors in the room as well. So just heads up. I thought, okay, maybe three doctors, maybe five family members. The first time I was pushed in the room, I kid you not, some were sitting, some were standing, and then you have like a panel of doctors, different specialists, the heart doctor, the lung doctor, the, what else? The surgical team. Wow. They were all there. At least like 5 to 6 of them, and then you have family members sitting and standing behind, each asking a question. Sometimes they speak, you know, together, and I did not know how to manage it, to be very honest, because it's just overwhelming. It is really difficult. I thought OPI would be difficult because I could not see. I have to imagine what's going on, but now that I'm able to see, it is really difficult. And this happens quite often, yeah, for medical settings. They will always, when you see a group of doctors standing there and they're telling you, oh, interpreter, I'm going to be wheeling you to a room where the family for the patient is there, brace yourself. It will be a difficult one because they're going to throw questions, suggestions, and then they're going to be talking over each other. And then some of them speak some English. Some of them will be asking another family member who speaks English over the phone. It's going to be a messy call. Yeah, so that's going to happen very soon, I'm sure. Yeah. All right. Okay, so let's move on to the next segment. Now, the next segment here is questions about terminology and languages.
Yeah.
Yeah, now... As we all know, we have Toy Chinese who claim that we speak Cantonese, 我讲广东话. No, yeah, Toy Chinese. And they do not know. Oh, they boy. Will not, yeah, they will not agree. Some is 50-50. Some clients know Cantonese and Toy Chinese are different. Unfortunately, some LEP person, they claim that they are speaking Cantonese. The moment when they say something different, you know it isn't. And when you try to tell the client, I don't understand because that's a different dialect, that's Toy Chinese. And they will say, no, I am speaking Cantonese. So what do you do? Yeah. So we have to do our job. We have to say, unfortunately, I cannot understand. So there are many, many things that we, you know, challenges for terminologies, for example, then things that they say. We just want to go through comparison. Let's say, Jiu Tai Cheng and bowel movement. So how many types of bowel movement have you heard? How many versions? April?
Well, Aussie.
What else?
Most common one, yeah. And Tai Bin.
Okay.
Which I usually use, like, yeah.
Have you heard monkey, bao sek, zha dong geng?
Ah, okay. Yeah, this I heard before, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In a call?
No. Of course not.
I don't know what year you guys are coming from. I've never heard any of that.
Really?
Really? Sharon, are you sure?
No, I've never heard any of that. Nope.
Really? Because there are some of them who say zha dong geng. Oh, zha dong geng ah. Okay, so
yeah.
I will sometimes call 911. You know, that's not okay. You cannot zha Tokyo. That is
really yeah, but they say zha dong geng. So when it's zha dong geng, it gives us the opportunity to use our tool to clarify. The patient is using a term, although not very polite, to a certain country. But that is what they say about moving their bowels. Would you like me to interpret what they say? Or do you just want to know what the patient want to do? So when the client did not understand what I meant, I have to say, well, literally, the patient said bomb Tokyo, but it means, you know, he needs to poop. So the nurse was very, you know, surprised that why bomb Tokyo? Okay, so this is something to do with Chinese history with Japan in the past. So every time when they have to their bowels, they will use this term to say, you know, bomb Tokyo. That actually literally means poop. I said, oh, really? Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, interesting. So some of them will say, oh, it's asset. You know, monkey. So they have these different type of terminologies or slang. So what are the slangs or terminologies that you've heard that take, you know, like Tai Bei La, you know, we say for Fuku Kao, you know,
yeah.
So what others that you've come across that is not in your glossaries?
I think at the beginning when I started the job, yeah, during the training, the trainers did mention there's another dialect, Toy Shanese. Of course, we're Cantonese interpreter. They did not go in that. We're not trained in that language, right? So when I first started taking calls, there's this phone call quite memorable because the LEP goes, I'm like, what? You know? I'm like, no, this is not Cantonese. No way. Okay. So the word is actually leg in Cantonese, and then tiak is tong, and then yeah, you know, there's this funny
way of them pronouncing.
Yes. So I'm like, oh no, what am I supposed to do now? Okay. Of course, I told the client straight away, and I said, I think, yeah, your LDP here actually speaks a different dialect. Right, it's not Cantonese, not something that I understand. So I have to clarify that. Only later I found out is, my leg is painful, therefore I'm taking this medication. So it's like in one sentence, there's three different accent of words. I felt so overwhelmed by that. I was like, okay,
yeah, because
I'm sorry.
They are different, but they somehow they think Toy Shanese and Cantonese are the same.
Mm.
Yeah, there was an LDP person that actually challenged me before, saying right. that, 我講廣東話啊, no. I said, 你講的是台山話. 咩台山话，我讲嘅广东话，你都听得明我讲嘢啦嘛？系 ，but sometimes
yes,
they don't understand. Yeah, they do speak, but it's more like a mixture of both already. Because I think they speak Cantonese with Cantonese people, and then they also speak Thai Chinese with their family members, but they don't understand. So I had to explain. I have to inform the client that I have to explain to them, why.I am a Cantonese interpreter, and when they are speaking Thai Chinese, it is not Cantonese. So I have to just speak to them and say, "Ah, 我講嘅係廣東話，你講嗰啲係台山話." And they were very offended. So I explained, "How do you say pain?" 即係如果係英文 pain， 你知係咩啦？嚇，嗱，知呢邊個唔知 ？How do you say that？ 踢咯，嗱，廣東話同咁啊 ，eat。eat 你哋点讲啊？吃咯，我哋广东话食。So I have to do that. So I have to explain to them that 广东话我哋系咁讲嘅。啊，咁有好多啲口音咧，同我哋广东话唔同。So she was still not agreeing. You know, she still think that she's speaking Cantonese, but it's fine. I already told them what I needed to say. I said, I can only help if they speak.The same way, but if they start to speak their own dialect, then I have to transfer you. And unfortunately, there's not many Thai Chinese interpreters for video. In fact, we don't have. Yeah, so only OPI. So I have to warn the client. So it's a bit challenging. So I would say, yeah.Then you have different Cantonese from different regions like Malaysia, you have Singapore, then you have even in China itself, you have so many different type of Cantonese. So it's difficult. Hold on. You know?
It's like this LAP kept saying, or more, or more.
More, yeah.
Or more. More. I'm like,
what? You say your more.
More, more. Her main Sam used to say her, or more.
What does it mean? Sorry, what does that mean?
I'm hi.
Oh.
Oh, more. I'm hi. So they will go, if this morning I had a call and she kept saying, oh, more. I'm like, okay, I think that's what it is. Then I asked her, 你的意思, oh, more, 是不是啊? Oh. She goes, okay.
Actually, the more is just the,好啦。冇啦
I think so.
啊，可唔可啊 ？You know the kind of thing. So, 哦，一個月食嘛。即係下個星期要見醫生嘛。
我冇。
So it's just the pronunciation, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's different. It's different. You know, Thai Chinese and Cantonese is this different. I mean, even for Katie was saying there's another one from Zhongshan. It's a different kind of Cantonese dialect.It is different. It sounds a little bit like Hakka, you know? It's a little bit like Hakka. So it's more like Hakka and Cantonese, a little bastardized. So that is what it is. So if you are living in Zhongshan, you can tell. So people from Zhongshan and people from Huaiping, right? Huaiping is where the Thai Chinese are. So Huaiping speaks Thai Chinese. Now Huaiping and... Zhongshan, they can understand each other because it is a mixture of Thai Chinese and Cantonese. And when they speak to people from Huaiping, they can communicate because the accent sounds almost similar.
Like,
咁即係聽日翻工冇，即係要食啊冇。So they say that more.
Yeah, the client actually asked me, interpreter, She said more. Is it means more? M-O-R-E? Oh, no. This is interpreter speaking. She's actually saying that. She's confirming it's correct or not. That's what it actually means. Yes or no, correct or not. So she's like, okay. So, I thought she was saying more.
Yeah. That's why we have to clarify. So for Shireen, for LDP persons,What's the most difficult part for you to understand what they're saying? I mean, is it an accent? Is it a dialect? What?
I've had
you find it different?
I do want to add about the dialect part. There are one There was one with, I believe, it's Toshan. There's another, there's one, I think Sunwui is very, also very similar, but different
Sunwui.
From Toshanese, but you know, it's okay. I transferred that one, but yeah, but one time I got a Toshanese, and you know, it's harder for them to get Toshanese interpreters. So they would tell me, he was like, please try and help the client. I'm like, yeah, right. I'll try to help. So at some point, I remember this one, like, because it was so hard. I was close to the end, and the LEP was like, oh, do you have any more questions? LEP asked, and I was already almost done with the call, so I already was able to interpret most of it. And here comes to the end, do you have any more questions? He was like, yeah, yeah, I do have a question. I was like, right? And then I was like, why? You have to have questions.
Yes.
And obviously, he does. And then he was like, oh, son, homo. And I was like, Lego son? Yeah, hi, son. Lego son? Ding hi, son. Son. Son, ding sam. Son. Okay. And this is when I'm not VRI. So you're over the phone. You're just like, son, ding hi, son. Son. Okay. And I ask, and then at some point, I'm just like, okay, I go back to the client and I was like,
I don't know.
He is either asking if his kidney's great, if his kidney's okay, or heart is okay. And so the doctor was like, okay. Then I think the doctor just gave me both. Both are fine. It's like something like kidney function is this, and his heart is fine. So either one, you just tell him. And I was like, okay, that's great. So I tell him back. But then at the time, I was having such a hard time. He was son. And I asked him, do you mean son? Haya, haya, haya. Ding hai son, haya, haya, haya. Son, ding hai son, son. Okay.
That sounds similar.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Everything is haya, haya. So, you know, but yeah, that was one of the harder ones. But then there's another thing, I think in Cantonese, because we have a lot of sound. So
yeah,
you had to tell me, I don't know how to, because we have a few type of pain, like how you describe pain, like sharp pain, throbbing pain or something like that. But then Cantonese have a lot. Oh, little laju, laju, little angju, angju, or like cheju, cheju. I'm just like, pulling sensation. Oh. I don't know. Angju, angju, like, dingju. I'm like,
I'm pressing.
Yeah, pressing like pain. Something is kind of like pressing on it. I don't know. Laju, laju is like kind of like a burning sensation, maybe. There's a lot of this kind of pain. I'm like, sex.
Yeah.
I'm like, it sounds tick-tack. I don't know. I don't know, how do I tell the doctor? I'm like, here, tick tack. Sounds, I don't know, makes a tick tack sound. Here makes the shashak sound. I don't know. Yeah, you know, Cantonese people really like to use sound, like shashak stang, lock stang, or something. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's great.
Well, I mean, Cantonese have a lot of description, you know, descriptive, yeah. Like, you know, height, weight, I'm a. Sao mang mang, skinny, right? Fei tan tan, fatty, right? So there are lots of descriptions for Cantonese. So there are lots of, including pains, sweet, you know, bitter, or even pounding. There's so many ways for them to describe. That's why even moving your bowels, they have so many ways to say it. that's the problem, you know? That's why I was asking, you know, what other challenges that they have.
End of part one. Stay tuned for part two.
Lang.